2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL at Night. Welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and my friend Derek Brown as we talk about the news of the day. So, Derek, over in Colorado, they've got a recount happening in a kind of feisty House race.
With a feisty member of Congress.
Yeah, with a feisty
member. She sort of defines feisty
as I see it.
Yeah,
there's like a picture of Lauren Boebert in the dictionary next to the word feisty, right? So basically what's happening is Colorado law calls for a recount whenever the difference between the two candidates is such a small margin, right? And Boebert won by 550 votes. That is a razor thin.
Razor thin,
right?
When the total vote count is like 750,000 or something.
Yeah, right. So, well, very small. And as a result, you have to do this recount. And some people are kind of calling foul, right? Like, we shouldn't be doing this recount. They feel like maybe it's partisan or it's more of like election hijinks. But the answer is it's just the law, right?
So, it's just what you do.
Right. And so I kind of want to talk, Derek, about what it is about humans, like, and the rules around elections that make them a little, maybe not the most reasonable version of themselves.
Well, and we have a similar law here in Utah, and I think it's, if it's within one half of 1%, I think it's an automatic recount.
Right.
For any election. And in fact, under the umbrella of your vote matters, there was a state house race in southern Utah. Where the candidate, I think they were separated by 5 votes. So it was triggered, you know, the automatic recount.
Right.
And in the end, he won by 10. This was a representative. His name is Elison, Joseph Elison.
Right.
And it was interesting because in the meeting where they certified the election, the people who were supporting the other person were really upset and wanted to file lawsuits and said, well, we're only challenging this just on principle, not because we're, you know, thinking anything is wrong, but everyone kind of rolled their eyes and said, no, this is,
right.
It's human nature, right? You know, my person didn't win, therefore the system must be flawed.
No, and I actually think it's, like, I went to a basketball game last night and my team didn't win, and I'm 100% sure the refs were cheating.
Pretty much. That's,
right?
That's how you know.
Right. So I think the deal is it's human nature, but we need to kind of be reasonable about this, right? But I thought it'd be fun to talk about some election rules, because I think it's not just whether my team wins. I also think it can be when humans are like, I don't understand what's happening, right? So if I don't get the rule, then it must be unfair, right? Automatically, it's not that it's it's unfair. There must be something happening. So I wanted to talk to you about like ranked choice voting.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Where it's not all that complex, but, you know, most people kind of conceptually get choose your first favorite, your second, your third, your fourth. But the mechanics of how it works is a little bit, it gets a little bit confusing.
Right. So I'm going to pick on you because it's your first night and, you know, I like to pick on people.
I'm here for the picking.
Here you are, Derek. But you were telling me off the air that you ran kind of a primary, a nominating cycle, so it's not a primary, as a ranked choice voting for District 1. And part of that was because you had like 12 candidates, right?
Right.
So talk to us about what happened with that.
Well, also part of this was the state nominating convention for the Republican Party in 2020.
Right.
And so this happened literally in the middle of the pandemic. And so we transitioned from an in-person convention, which we'd always had, to an online one. And the way those always work is you have like a round of voting and then you eliminate the lowest candidate and then you come back again.
And start over. Okay.
And generally the person who gets knocked out may go up on the stand and try to indicate their support and there's games played. But like in the first congressional district, there were 12 candidates. And so it just wasn't practical online to do that. So we used ranked choice voting and it was very fascinating. I really like how it turned out, and it was also a matter of convenience, too, I mean, to
right.
be honest.
So you did it because you kind of had to, because you couldn't all be at the Salt Lake palace or whatever.
Right, with 12 rounds of candidates.
With 12
yeah.
rounds of candidates. And basically, it is your rank ordering. So I'm going to go, these are the 12 people, and I've got first through 12th place. And then what you all did, you didn't cheat. You just said...
No, we definitely didn't cheat.
Right? So you're like, the 12th person, when they get knocked out, all of the people who voted, their second choices moved up.
Exactly.
Right. And then... the 11th person gets knocked out and all those second choices moved up. So mm-hmm. you did rounds, but you did them...
over and over and over until someone gets over 50%.
51%, right. So, but it's automatic. So there's no kind of... I like how you said it's a game, right? There's no gamemanship in between the rounds because you basically just made all your choices ahead of time. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what did you find? Like, were people happy about that?
I think most people were. I mean, okay. we also had to do it out of just sheer necessity. But what was interesting is we had a governor's race going on. And
right.
it was the first open governor's seat in two decades. And so that gave me, I was up, you know, sweating at night trying to figure out how we do this. And there were concerns about what if it got hacked, because this was an online app.
Right.
But the thing that startled me a little bit was I was bracing for all of these. There were, I think, six governor candidates. And I was bracing for just a nasty campaign.
Right.
And in the end, most of them were really civil because they realized I may not be someone's, you know, first choice, but if I can be their second choice, that can get me enough to win.
Right.
And so, like, in the first congressional district, with Blake Moore eventually won. I mean, he won because of a lot of people didn't necessarily have him as their first choice, but he was their second or third choice.
Right. He's so nice. So he's going to be, right, everyone. I like that. So, and I think that's kind of interesting, too, is I think it's less about the rules and more about people who don't understand how to play the game under the new rules, right? So I feel like the angst is not... this is unfair. The angst is, I don't know how to win this way.
Right. And right. I think there's something to be said as well about the general caucus system that we have here in Utah. There's
okay.
a lot of people who complain about that. But also in the past, that's just the system that we've had.
Right.
And there's a way to win that. And, you know,
right.
when Senator Hatch, in I think it was 2012, spent millions of dollars kind of trying to game that system, he did it successfully and people complained. But to your point... those are the rules.
Right.
And people understood, and he understood. And so a lot of it, you're right. I mean, a lot of times when people don't understand the rules, they complain about the process.
Right. So let me ask you a question as our, like, in-house Republican right here. So what do you think it does to Republican voters when Republican candidates are, like, attacking the integrity of elections, right? Like, so I guess how I feel is if someone were telling me this is all a fraud— I'm not sure I show up. So I'm just wondering,
well, that
you know?
Was when I served as the state party chair, yeah. that was one of my big concerns, is we had a presidential candidate who was attacking sort of the overall system and casting doubt on the authenticity or the veracity of what was happening. And in a sense, kind of suppressing the vote in my mind. I mean, my
right.
concern was that people would see that and say, well, if I can't trust the outcome, why even show up?
Right.
And the job of a party chair is to make sure as many of your people show up
right.
as possible. So that was one of those awkward kind of dynamics that we were faced with. But you're exactly right. I mean, that's how it works. If somebody questions the integrity of a system, you know, you're going to have less people show up. That's
right.
just the way it works.
And I love how you just said, like, your job as the party chair is to mobilize your voters. And it's like, yes.
And,
right?
Exactly.
You know
what I mean? And hopefully
yeah.
from the person at the very top all the way down. And
right.
So,
right. And yeah. So did you find that you had lower turnout or maybe
not necessarily.
Utah was a little immune?
I think
okay.
at Utah, we do mail-in ballots here,
right,
which worked really, really well. Other states had issues, but we've been doing it for 10 years. So
right.
we've kind of figured out this system. We've kind of perfected it in a lot of ways.
And maybe a little bit, it kind of falls on deaf ears because people here are like, dude, we've been doing this for like since 2014, so we're good.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think it's so interesting. So in Colorado, it's not a fraud. It's not a big scandal. It is just
the rule.
The rule.
That's just what you do.
That's right. It's totally just what you do. All right. So coming up next on KSL at Night, we will be having a conversation about rats. And I feel like Derek is going to be leaving Utah because the job description for this job in
it
New York
so
City
appealing.
Is so appealing. Come back after the break.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.